Okay, so welcome back to the Inside Trail. Today I'm joined by Evan McDermott from the Last Man Back podcast, and Conor Jennings, a longtime friend and spewer and everything else. He was actually one of the first people I ever had on the podcast a year ago now, so it's great to have him back. But today we chatted all about the World Cup, you know, the pool, the different pools, the different fixtures, the different teams, everything, just to get us, you know, hyped up for the World Cup. So we're buzzing there for the weekend. It's currently Friday evening, so I'm hoping we might get this uploaded just after the games on Saturday morning. So fingers crossed you're listening to this Saturday afternoon. If you're, you know, listening to it straight away, you might pick this up a year down the line, but it doesn't really matter. You're listening to it anyway. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast, and I'll see you soon. Ba, ba, ba. Sweet. Oh, Evan, welcome to the Inside Trail. And today I'm joined by Evan McDermott from the Last Man Back podcast and Conor Jennings, long-standing friend. And actually, he was on the first ever podcast I ever did nearly a year ago now. So look, we're back and we're here to spew.
Lads, how are we?
Very good.
Very good. So excited. Our topic of the day, the World Cup. Who's excited?
Very excited, yeah. It's good to see the first game getting over. It was a long time coming. So,
what did we think of the game this morning?
It's a bit messy. Like, Russia impressed me, considering they like got absolutely hammered by Italy by like about 60 points. So, like, I was impressed by those, because like a lot of people have been building up Japan, because obviously it's their home, their home World Cup. So a lot is expected of them, but you know they didn't really play as good as I thought they would today. Like, it was like, I think Ireland are going to completely like take advantage of their mishaps today.
Well, that away. And Kamir, what you were saying something there, how, so explain the circumstances in which the Russia find themselves in this World Cup.
Yeah, so each group has one team that gets in through like qualifying. So Ireland, originally Spain had qualified, but it turned out this February last year, I think it was, they got in a fight, and like there was an absolute massive fight and all. And also it turned out they failed an ineligible player. So then that their position was given to Belgium, I think it was, and then they fielded an ineligible player as well. And because of that, Russia got in. So yeah, they're not there on merit.
So it's safe to say that they're probably going to be the whipping boys of this group.
Yeah.
I'd imagine so after seeing today's performance. Anyway.
Who else do we have in our group? Us, Scotland, Japan, Russia,
and Samoa.
Any idea what Samoa are like?
They're usually good enough. Like, not great, but you know they do themselves proud. They're a very proud team.
I think it'd be fairly set in stone, or it'd be very upsetting if anyone other than Ireland and Scotland qualified from that group.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. So what do we think about having our biggest game on the first weekend?
I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to like ours.
Why is that? Why is that?
So I was watching this video, it's called Spark Sport. It's 10:14 rugby. They're like a really good like rugby channel on YouTube, and they like look through like all the professional era World Cup, so from 99 onwards, and the schedule makes such an impact on like how well the team's gonna do. So for Ireland, we have like our two hardest games up front, and then
a bit of a break.
So like I was looking at, like, so we play Scotland on Sunday, then we have a 6-day turnaround to Japan, and then like realistically I think probably like 7 out of the 15 like our main starters are rested, so they won't play another game for another 21 days.
So like, I think that is huge, because if you look at any of the Six Nations championships that we've done well in. The placement of the Italy game has been particularly significant, because it means, you know, Italy generally would be the weakest team in the Six Nations we play in, and a lot of the time that game has been planted in the middle or near, whether it's in the middle. It's usually the third or fourth game, so it gives players at the start, you get their hit out against England or Wales or whoever it is, and then they have a couple of weeks to kind of take a step back. They can rest up their players against Italy, some of their big players anyway, and I think that will be massive for this World Cup as well. And so the fact that the game's against Scotland, or the game against Scotland is first, and a lot of people were talking about the warm up games coming into it.
Yeah,
we weren't in great form initially, but I think we came out with some decent. Yeah,
like we only lost one game.
Yeah, I know. And everyone,
I think that loss against England, I think we've all buried.
I was like, I don't really.
I think all that was very premature. I think that the England game, like if you look at probably what Ireland had been doing up until then, I think, like, I'd imagine that those lads have been in for one of the toughest pre-seasons of their life.
Yeah,
they just like they'd just gotten back from Portugal. Mm. I'd say they were run off their feet. Mm. And then within the English game, I know it was our fourth heaviest defeat. I think the three previous heaviest had been to New Zealand, would it be right in saying that?
Yeah, I think New Zealand, but when we played them in 2012, Christchurch.
Yeah, the last one was like 60-0 or something. Yeah. But it had been the heaviest defeat since then. But I think, as I said, they'd been probably run off their feet, and I'd say they were very fatigued going into the game. Mm-hmm. As well as that, our lineout didn't function that day at all.
No, it didn't.
And like, I think you solve that, and you have a fully rested team going into the big games, and I think it solves 80% of the problems that were there. That being said, if Ireland were to go head to head with England now in the next couple of days, you'd fancy England, but
I really hope we can just push England off for as long as possible, because
a point for England, their schedule doesn't suit them at all.
Yeah,
so they have all the easy games up front. I think they're playing Tonga tomorrow,
on Saturday.
But their two last games are France and Argentina, and then they go into a quarterfinal. So like,
their quarterfinal is probably going to be Australia or Wales.
So they have to have five massive performances in a row, which is tough to do. Like in the 2014, they showed it. Like no one's ever done. Like if you have your two hardest games last, they've never won the World Cup. So that would be another reason. Like I'd be like hopeful that hopefully
that the fixture list has suited us. Yeah,
so if we were to look at then our first game, the Scotland game on Sunday, what did you think of the team sheet that came out this morning? Yesterday.
I think it was this morning.
This morning. Yeah. Was there any surprises?
No, not really. Yeah. I thought Klein might have been in with a show for a second.
Yeah,
round,
I was the
there was
same.
A lot of talk about that, but That didn't happen.
Who did they have alongside Ryan in the row?
It's a lovely second row pairing.
Yeah, I think it's probably it's the strongest team we have, considering that, you know, Kearney, Earls, and Carberry as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those four lads, there's an injury concern regarding Henshaw, and then I'd say they're erring on the side of caution with Kearney and Earls.
Yeah, I think I was listening to the press conference and they were saying Earls could have played.
Yeah.
But like, it was really not coming
back. I have a feeling that secretly the lads probably think we can get by with the team we have and get through it, and get through well enough. I'm hoping Ireland will beat Scotland by,
well,
I think we should beat Scotland
by 10 points. If not more.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a big win.
I'd hope kind of more than two big scores anyway.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But that being said, you know, it's Scotland. Like, I feel like we always underestimate Scotland a little bit.
I think that the game against Wales we had coming in was a really important one, because it kind of it laid down a marker. It put away that defeat we had to England. It kind of, you know, we performed well, even though it wasn't a massive scoreline we put up against Wales. We still came off the back of those two Welsh.
We controlled the game really well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was nice
seeing
Sexton and Murray back together. Like back to like 2018 when like they were the main playmakers, and like it's just like when they're on the pitch, you just have so much like
faith
in them.
I think as well, it takes a team like two or three games to get up and running in a new season, and like Ireland hadn't played together since the Six Nations before that.
It's a big gap, like.
Yeah, it is for
especially
any team.
When you're playing in your provincial systems in between.
Exactly. It takes a while. It takes a while for teams like that to gel back together, I think, anyway. And just even, you know, from our own experience on a far lower level, like, it does take a couple of games to get back to your match fitness, regardless of how fit you would be. Like, so I'm really looking forward to the Scotland game. I think it'll be really interesting. Hopefully we'll get a good strong performance, and hopefully then come out on the right side of the result
and then kick on with a few wins. So what do we think about them, like, our mentality of being coming into the World Cup as number ones? What does that mean?
Oh yeah, we are number one in like name, but like there hasn't, like, basically everyone in Ireland doesn't think we have a chance like now. I think it's helped us so much, like the player, there's not really not much pressure, obviously, when the quarterfinal comes around, if we're hopefully in it, and it is South Africa, which I think it will be, there's going to be a lot of pressure that week building up to it. But for the 4 weeks between now and then, like, they're not really having that much pressure at all. Like, and also, they're over in Japan. They're probably away from everything. Like, and I doubt they're reading newspapers because of the time difference. They're probably not seeing Twitter as much, like, the build up. Like, I think since it's so far away, it does help them like a lot with dealing with all that.
I think similar to what I was saying, I think a lot of people probably didn't think we deserved that title of being world number one. I think personally the ranking system is a bit funny.
It's a bit fucked the way you get more points by beating someone who's above you.
Yeah.
And then you end up...
If a team is like more than four places below you, you can't get any points. That's why I think New Zealand can only get points if they play number two or number three in the world. And if they lose against anyone, they get fucked over.
I do think over the past, 18 months... We do deserve the title since 2018.
We stopped the All Blacks and England from beating that record of 18 games unbeaten on the trot, and we stopped both of them on things. So it's not like it's that undeserved. But I just feel like having had a poor Six Nations Championship, a mediocre.
Poor for Ireland standard.
And then obviously you come into, you know, a shy England game, and then you beat a Welsh team that's probably, you know, a little bit wobbly at the minute. During the Six Nations, I thought Wales were like, you know, up there in top four.
Like,
I don't know what's after happening in the last 6 months. Like,
their attack coach was putting the gas on to win the World Cup, obviously.
I wouldn't say helped their preparations at all. God love, what was he thinking?
I'd love to know what kind of bets he's putting on.
Like an outright bet, or like...
No, like, just in general, wings, like, why would he bother putting bets on?
I don't know how true, you never know how true these things you hear are.
Stories, yeah.
But I heard it was like he was betting on certain players to score first.
Yeah, but so that's
which,
dodgy.
Which
now.
Might have been a tactic, like that England or the Wales.
Yeah, but even still, like, that is dodgy. Like,
of course.
I feel like if you're involved in that team, you should be fucking betting on.
It's just stupid as well. Like,
it's ridiculous.
And he got caught because like the company that he was betting with like ran Wales.
Yeah,
they're like,
hello, Wales.
But it was relatively lucky in the sense that because Rob Helly was always going to be leaving after the World Cup.
Yeah.
That Stephen Jones, the attack coach, has gone over, had been integrating with the squad anyway, even though he'd been left at home. So he's over there now, and the squad would be fairly used to having him around in camp and stuff. So it's never an ideal situation, but if it had to happen to someone, it couldn't have happened to a better person to be sent home.
It just must be just so awkward because forgotten.
Incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Wales will still have a good.
I assume they're coming out of that group like with themselves in Australia, unless, you know, if Fiji or Georgia can pull a big win. And I feel like, you know, there's always going to be one of those big games that's just going to get thrown at your last.
And if not, they're going to be very physically taxing. So like, I could put dents in their World Cup hopes, definitely as well. There's a couple of injuries in the team or whatever.
So also we have the game then tomorrow morning. Hopefully by the time this comes out, this game will probably just be over. But so the New Zealand and South Africa game, that's fucking huge, especially for us here. You know, it's pretty much we play the loser.
I think it's probably the biggest game in the group. group stage.
By a mile.
And it could be a repeat in the final as well.
Yeah, exactly.
No, hopefully not.
Who are you backing, Evan?
I think South Africa.
Do you?
You think they'll beat them?
Yeah.
I think we could beat New Zealand in a quarter final, but I just don't know. I don't think we've played South Africa enough to beat them.
Yeah.
But I think either way, like, Felix Jones has gone over to South Africa as their attack coach or backs coach, and I'm not sure how true this is. Apparently, like, Joe Schmidt has been absolutely shitting bricks.
He was on the tour to them, with them to America,
about like the language of like calls and stuff. Like, Joe was talking about that, and he was saying they're not going to change any language, but like, I don't know, it's just, he knows how Joe Schmidt works, and Rossi Erasmus, like, he knows what Conor Murray, like,
exactly,
like, he knows how these players take
exactly,
and all, like,
exactly,
and
it
stuff
is.
That they do, like,
it certainly, it would be a big fear, and like, I suppose one way of looking at it, if Ireland do meet South Africa in the quarterfinals, like, we could use that to our advantage nearly, and lure them into a false sense of security that they think they know all our calls and have the same calls for different moves.
Yeah, I assume, like, so that's probably what they will do. George Martin's a smart guy. Yeah, like.
But you think the South Africans will beat New Zealand by?
I think it would be very close. Like, I was looking at the spread there. The spread is like fairly -6 New Zealand.
I think whoever has learned the most from the championship game they played against each other will win that game, and I. Like,
have we a team sheet for that?
I was with my heart was telling me South Africa, but my head New Zealand, and I feel that New Zealand will have taken more away from that championship game than South Africa did. So although I want to say South Africa will win, I think it'll be New Zealand who win by score.
Then one score.
The New Zealand wingers are pretty interesting. George Bridges and Siwi Rees. Yeah. It's meant to be in Connacht.
Yeah.
So we
know. And now Rike. Rike.
Yeah. Very harsh. I think it's 23 tries in 25 matches or something.
Between himself and one of the other wingers, wasn't it?
Right. No, that's himself.
Oh, like, was it 23 and 26? Yeah, I read that.
I'll give you this all black team, right? So it's Bowden Barrett at 15, Rees 14, Leonard Brown at 13. Crotty 12, Bridge 11, Richie Mwong at 10, Aaron Smith at 9, Kieran Reid at 8, Sam Kane and Irish Sevilla make up the rest of that back row. Scott Barton, Whitelock in the rows, Nipu Lualala at 3, Dane Coles and Jerry Moody. That's a pretty fucking strong All Black team.
Yeah.
I think the back row is to be they can get at them. Second row partnership for South Africa is absolutely ridiculous as well.
I think it's interesting that Richie's playing at 10, Richie Umonga. What do you make of that? Would you
put Bowden at 10, like,
would you? I think Richie would be better. I think Barrett
at 15 is a little bit more, he's allowed to be a little bit more of a creative I'm really not supposed to say that word, but anyway, doesn't really matter. But I just think at 10 you kind of need someone who's a little bit more, you know, relaxed and calm. And
I think I just think
it's a bit mad though. Like, they've been building up for the last 4 years for this World Cup, and then like, when was it? I think
it was only just gone. Yeah. The championship just gone.
Like, they throw it. Obviously,
what I'd say is that I think Richie is a better playmaker than Barrett. Barrett's very. Off the cuff, and he has like the magic quality about him, and he can do something magic when he's given a bit of space, and he'll still be able to do that from 15, whereas Richie, he'll be better able to play make and organise the forwards a bit better. Plus, I think having someone at 15 who's able to play make and who's used to playmaking like Bowden Barrett would be is a massive advantage to the All Blacks as well, because it means they have two playmakers on the field, something that Ireland, I think, lack.
That's
why I need Carby at 15.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see, because as I said, like, I think Barrett, when he's given a bit of space, he's obviously incredibly talented, like, so he can create magic from nothing. Like,
it's interesting, he's the youngest Barrett, he's still knocking about.
Yeah, he's in the squad as well.
So then in the South Africa team, I'll just bang that out real quick, is LaRue, Colby, Luka Hanua,
Who is that winger?
You have some fun pronouncing some of them names.
Yeah, the old dyslexic nightmare, the old South African team. Then we have Dalende, Miamapi, Pollard and the Clerk. That's a serious partnership. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Clerk. Then we've got Vermeulen in the back row unit. Steph Dutois, Khaleesi, then Franco Mosert, Ibn Etzebit. Man, Etzebit is such a unit. Franz Malherbe, Malcolm Marks and Kitschkoff. Malcolm Marks is a very strong, yeah, very good.
And Kitschkoff is class as well.
I think you're right though, the halfbacks there are very strong, and I think Pollard as well will have a great World Cup.
Yeah,
that was said to me during the week by someone, I can't remember who, and I was like, yeah
he's absolutely deadly. He was playing under 20s and then was pulled from the under 20s championship
Man, I think South Africa are like dark horses. Like, if they handle their pool well, like, but
they're not exactly dark horses. They're second favourites really, but in the bookies' eyes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, no one's really talking about them. Kind of like New Zealand, England, and then you have some fella like Ireland as well.
Yeah.
Stick it all on. It's only 8-1. Like.
Yeah, it's Tom.
Yeah, nice Tom. So our predictions on that for tomorrow.
I think I'm gonna go South Africa by 2.
South Africa by 2.
I'm gonna go New Zealand by a score. I don't know.
I'm gonna say New Zealand by 2 scores.
You think they're gonna be class, huh?
I don't think they're gonna be class. I just think, I don't know.
It would be mad if New Zealand lost. No team has ever lost any games and won the World Cup.
I just feel like if they lose to South Africa tomorrow, there's no way that they lose to South Africa and then come to us in the quarterfinal and lose. The All Blacks don't go and lose that many games in a World Cup.
They haven't ever. Anyway.
Like, are we really thinking that it's all going to be flipped on its head completely? I still think that they're up.
100%.
So aside from our, you know, Ireland, whatever, what teams are you excited to see aside from Ireland?
Australia. Yeah, I really love watching Australia.
What is Australia's fixture list like?
They're playing Fiji.
Mark, I think that button just went. Yeah, go on, keep going.
Yeah, they're playing Fiji, and then Wales are in their group as well. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Canada. Is that so?
Very good, yeah, it's
I think for me personally, I think, and I, as much as I hate to say it, I think I'm looking forward to watching England play.
Really?
I remember listening to an interview with Lancaster after the 2015 World Cup, and he was talking about, you know, how all the coaching staff had exited, himself, Andy Farrell, I can't remember who else it was, but he was talking in the interview, and he was saying, you know, that, yeah, the management, there was things that were done at the World Cup, at the last World Cup, that, you know, he regretted, but that this team, the team that he had at the last World Cup, was always set to peak at this World Cup in 2019. And if you look across the board on the England team, I think the average age is 26 point something, which, like, you know, is quite an ideal age. It also has a good bit of experience. I think maybe it's the 5th or 6th most experienced team in the World Cup. I think Australia is the most, that has like 1400 caps across I think they're hitting a point as well where, you know, they're nearly boiling, they're at simmering point, like, and they're coming through. You saw them against Ireland, albeit we had a lot of mistakes, as I mentioned earlier. But I think they're coming into form at a really good time, and I think they'll be a team to definitely watch, because, I mean, some of the ball carriers they have as well, which, like, they probably have ball carriers that will compete against the likes of the South Africans that we wouldn't in Vinopola's.
And the depth is very scary as well.
Tulani,
Sinclair.
And then you probably, they have the best.
Cocking a single on the wing. Might as well be Billy on the wing.
How old is he? Is he 21?
Yeah, he's only a year old. Are
you younger than us? I think
as well as that, they have the best player in the world, I think. And, like, he's the most informed.
See, they brought him back out to 12.
Yeah.
Again, and George Ford is at 10.
I think that's what's worked for them a lot. Like,
yeah, it did. But I think
their best. Farrell at 10
is just.
I also
I think their best access is Farrell. Tuilagi and Slade.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I was just going to say, it feels kind of like a waste to have Ford on. It's kind of like, oh, it's handy to have an extra, you know, distributor here, but do you really need him? Does he really offer more than Slade will out wide and Tuilagi will in the centre? Because Farrell is more than capable of playing 10 and controlling the game from 10, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
So
yeah, they're my team that I'm looking forward to actually watching and seeing how they progress. I'd be very surprised if they don't make it to at least the semi-final.
Yeah. And out of all, you know, the kind of non-top tier teams, which ones do you think are the most likely to have a bit of a shock in them?
Fiji, probably, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say Fiji.
You think Fiji?
Yeah, Fiji are just class to watch.
Yeah.
They just throw the ball. They just throw the ball.
It's like watching NBA. Like,
I don't know. Do I fancy
Namibia? Are always a great team.
Is Berger playing this World Cup?
Is Russia like?
Is your man Berger playing this World Cup?
I think he retired.
I'd say he's retired.
Van der Merwe is still playing for Canada as well. He's a good player.
Yeah. That's his. I think that's his fourth World Cup.
What do we think about it being Joe Schmidt's last tournament?
That's literally what I have right in front of me. Is the word Joe Schmidt next? I actually am going to be so sad to see him leave.
Yeah, I think
want him to go out in a high.
Do you think his, you know, his whole legacy around the Ireland camp will be based on whether or not we get to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think like if we get a knockdown in the quarterfinal, I think it'll be so tainted. Like,
yeah, yeah. I kind of
like because the media are just going to
the
go
media
in
are going to go
that's
in.
Absolutely, what happened to Stuart Lancaster in the last World Cup, and then he lost the back.
That being said, though, we've done a lot of firsts. There's been a lot of boxes ticked.
Yeah, Joe. Like when you look back in it, in like years to come, like you'll be like, he was absolutely class. But like there is going to be sour taste.
You think about it, our first victory against the All Blacks at home and away, world number one,
Grand Slam.
Grand Slams, two series wins, one in Australia, one in South Africa. Like those are a lot of things that we haven't been able to do before. And I think you're right, Evan. The media will go in on them. Well, in on the him and the team.
They throw one of the bus.
Oh my god, he never has anything positive to say. In fairness.
But like, what do you think is next for him then? Do you think he
Well, he's staying in Ireland. He was meant to be going back to I think New Zealand to look after his mom, but his mom, when he flew back there, you know, before the Italy game or the first Wales game, I forget which, he flew back to New Zealand because his mom passed there. So his plan, I think, was to go back and look after her or just be with her, but obviously she passed now, so he's staying in Ireland. And
do you think Schmidt would ever take on the Lions role?
No, I always kind of thought he would, but I feel like now
because he doesn't have enough time with the players to like integrate his systems and all. Like, that's sick. Like all you have is like what, 6 weeks for that. Like, and he needs players hands on. Like,
yeah, fair. I also think he's probably the most qualified to do it in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, let's see how this World Cup goes, I guess. But
he's looking for time off, and that gives you time off, I guess, because you only need like about 6 weeks. And
what is it? It'd be a 2 year, 2 years until the Lions. That's it,
2021.
Yeah, 2 years. So what? You probably take a year off prepping your Lions pitch, and then
you'd have at least a year, I'd say.
Yeah, and then.
And Gatland's off after the World Cup.
Yeah, he's going to take over the Chiefs, is it?
He's
looking out for that All Blacks role.
Yeah, and you definitely need to be coached in the Super 15 before you can
Is Hansen gone after the World Cup?
I'm not sure. There was talk of your man from the Crusaders, Robertson, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he should definitely go there. But I think they wanted to. They usually have like the understudy, like having an understudy who takes over.
Yeah.
But Robertson's been doing great stuff with Crusaders. Yeah. So
that'd be interesting. Like it'd be interesting as well. He gets
on. Is still with the Crusaders?
And now he's head coach of La Rochelle.
But it'd be a very good interesting move if Robertson did get it, because I gather he was very fond of O'Gara.
Yeah, but I don't think O'Gara would take another like role underneath. He like since he's got the head coach now.
He now wants to be a head coach.
Would you not take assistant with the All Blacks though?
Yeah, but I think he's so far ahead in his like journey that just wants head coach's role now.
Yeah.
Like it would be like obviously like you think it would be a step up, but like for him probably be a step down, like because he wants
he's probably still got another couple of years of coaching before he'd go near or pretty ready.
Yeah.
And also there's probably not that much that he'd learn more with the All Blacks that he hasn't with like the Crusaders.
That's fair. Yeah, but I think overall, though, I think Joe Schmidt, he's done so much with Ireland that I think it would be very unfair if he was just judged purely based on this World Cup.
And he's just such a nice guy as well.
Yeah, he's like,
we had him for a training session once for Tar-20s, and he's very... He knows his shit,
I know, he's an absolute rugby nerd.
I'd say he
watches every match that there's ever been.
Yeah, but I do think the media are probably going to go in on him, especially your man McKenna. There's just so many
different people who will give out. Like Neil Francis.
No, we don't.
Neil Francis will come out and write a horrible article that makes no sense.
And like, there'll be plenty of articles that make sense. The next couple of weeks.
It comes down to I think it's safe enough bet to say that Ireland are going to qualify for the quarterfinals, and then it just comes down to whether or not we can beat one of the best teams in the world. It's either going to be South Africa or New Zealand.
I think we will.
He's known
for 2.5 years that we're going to get, like, obviously at the time South Africa were going through this whole rebuilding transition phase, and they were absolute dog shit, but like, I assume Schmidt was like, it wasn't going to think that they were going to be shit, like, come to the World Cup and all.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
you feel like he has something up his sleeve.
Surely he does. Like, he has to. It would be so bad if he didn't.
He was asked that in a press conference, I think, and he said to the reporter, he's like, I'm wearing short sleeves. Like, he had nothing to hide, but...
No, he has to.
Yeah.
They have to be... Like, they're in camp for... about 3 months. They have to be doing something different.
Yeah,
they can't just be doing the same thing over and over again. Because it's not going to work.
And expecting a different result than they've been getting. That's fair.
So the last two things based on this that I want to go over is your young players. Who are we, whether it be an Irish player or outside of Ireland, who are you really looking for?
I think Tom Curry is going to be really good. Yeah. The back row for England.
Yeah.
I think Gary Ringrose, obviously he's not that young, but I think this is the time for him to step up. Like,
I would have said De Anty, but he got
he's a big juicer.
Yeah, he got done for.
Can
for
anyone
doping,
give
so.
Me the back of this? What is the how?
He got tested and he was on banned substances, so, which juice. Like isn't a.
And then he was like, "Oh man, test my set in my B sample," and they test that. And he was juicing that as well. He was like, "Ah, come on."
Kind of begs the question as well about the doping.
Would you see that photo of them all?
In the gym. Humongous.
And there's another, what's his name on, who's on the bench for South Africa? Do you have the South African team there?
Yeah, give me one sec.
There's a few guys, I think.
Who's the 9 for France? Dupont.
On the bench?
Dupont, is it? Yeah.
Is he a dodgy juicer?
No. I was going to say he's young.
Oh, he's class. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
there. I think he's. For South Africa is.
Number 23 or number 22.
22 is Diane.
Jesse Creel, I think he's a bit of a juicer as
really?
Well. Yeah, he had a few dodgy tests.
I remember he played the under 20 championship same year as Pollard, two of them tore
him. Oh,
absolutely sick.
But I think how do you pronounce it?
Dupont.
Yeah. I think he's setting the standard for nines at the minute. Yeah. I think he's been class for
Dupont?
Toulouse. Yeah.
For who?
For France.
James.
He's been playing very well himself and De Klerk, isn't it? For
so I thought you were talking about De Troyes, the back row for South Africa.
Those two would be.
Cochran Singer as well. I think he's just gonna like score about 3 tries every match. He's just a freak.
Such a large.
It's just ridiculous how like England just have all these players. Like everything, like. They have to win a World Cup eventually because they win the under 24 World Cup eventually 3 out of every 4 years.
They're going to have to have players coming through. So,
Okay, the last thing on the rugby. What is our worst case scenario? We lose all our group games.
No, I think we lose to Scotland tomorrow and then.
We still qualify for the quarters.
We qualify, but we barely qualify playing absolute shit rugby.
And then we get
New Zealand and like we just play shit and we get knocked out. And
actually, scrap that. I have one more thing. Right, injury-wise, I know we've got a couple who are kind of semi on the fence. We don't really know about Henshaw, Carberry, Earls, and who's the other one?
And
Kearney, sorry. So aside from them, provided that, you know, if we didn't get them, but who do you think is the, you know, the worst player we could lose?
Sexton.
Like, we just can't lose Sexton.
I think
at the same time though, like if Carberry's back, like You know,
I think based it depends on the players that are in behind them, and I think based on that it's our halfbacks. But if you're basing it purely on like who'd be such a big loss for the team, I'd say James Ryan.
Yeah, like every single
his,
game,
his work rate is silly. So yeah. So just one of the things based on our team for Sunday, if you know our strongest team, who are we changing in that, or are we
going to put Henshaw in for Bundy? Like Bundy plays class every single time, but like I just love Henshaw when he's on the pitch. Like I think he does everything right. Like
I think you change Ringrose for Henshaw. Yeah. I think
purely based on how Aki has been playing in the last 6 months, I don't really think it warrants taking him out. And Ringrose hasn't had that much game time.
Yeah. But I think Ringrose is just like. He can do that special thing, and like also, I think his defense is really good. Like against England, he got caught out a few times, and yeah. People just ran through him, which is yeah. really uncharacteristic.
That's the thing, though. I think when you look across the board and the teams we'll be playing, it's probably like as we say, South Africa and New Zealand. I think Henshaw offers more of a carrying option along with Bundy, which I think is important if we're playing teams that are so physical and dominant in the collision zone.
Yeah. Bundy always gets over the game like against England, like he was the only one that could actually do that. Like.
Yeah, and I think if you watched Aki and Henshaw when they played Wales last time out, like their defense was very good together. They're probably used to playing with each other as well because they played together a good bit in Connacht. And obviously they've been in Ireland camp as well. I'm not sure how many games they've played together now in Ireland camp, but. Yeah, like I think personally that would be based on the last couple of months anyway. But that being said, it's very hard to leave Ringrose out of a team because he's so good as well.
But again, you can have him over 23 because he can go over basically like 11 all the way down. We can't cover fullback, but
Ringrose.
I
don't know when Ringrose came on a fullback or not a fullback on the wing. I don't think he knows how to defend as a winger. I know obviously when you get thrown into a game like that, you make decisions or whatever, but. So some of the defensive decisions he made as if he was playing 13 and not on the wing, which is something that I would be afraid of.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you know, I do think he does have the rugby brain to get thrown in. Maybe it was just one of them days, but I definitely remember watching that game thinking he's definitely not a winger.
I think the pack's probably the same though for our strongest team. Although, I liked Stander at six.
I like Kilcoyne at the minute, man. I think
Kilcoyne is class.
You can't really, like any other player,
and also he's class to have coming off the bench because he's just so explosive.
Yeah.
I read today that
Porter and Scannell, that's a fucking class front row.
Yeah, we have the most experienced front row who've played together as well. So like they've started the last 14.
Because Frank's got fucked out of New Zealand.
Oh, yeah,
so harsh.
Yeah, so I wouldn't change much. I suppose Kearney and Earls would be in, and then probably Henshaw at 13.
I suppose this is probably a big game, like, you know, if Kearney and Earls are there.
Obviously, sorry, we're forgetting the injured who haven't been picked at all for the panel, but like O'Brien and...
Yeah.
Yeah, Levy, like, I think Levy's huge loss. Like, he goes in at 7 and you're just so confident in that back row. Like,
and as well, O'Brien had been playing with that injury for a while. Like, if he had been fully fit, he probably would have been up there with Levy. When he's at full fitness, you know, he's incredible. Yeah.
It's mad to think the depth, though, that we have, that we've lost O'Brien, we've lost Levy, and you still have O'Mahony, you still have
Van der Fleer,
Conan, Standard, Ty Byrne, and through and through, like you know, where
Henderson can play in the back row, exactly. To be like.
So that's pretty much our prep for this weekend. We might have another look. During the week to see how this game this week progresses. But have you anything else on the?
I'm just
that you want to
hopefully
add?
Hopefully Ireland do it because like.
So what's your prediction? Ireland by what? Against the Scots?
Against Scotland, I think Ireland by 12.
Yeah, I was gonna say 15.
I'm gonna say 10.
12, 10.
We're all the same ballpark.
All in the same ballpark.
Over 10.
Between
anyway.
10,
over 10.
Right. 10 and 15.
So who wants to do their life hack first?
I'll go. Okay, well, like a lot of
one.
Child leave cards on the buses. Okay, the buses do not have inspectors ever, and I'm telling you, like no one comes on. I've been using this now for the last 8 months, and it saves an absolute fortune.
The inside trail does not condone robbery.
In fairness, I think one of the other hacks was not paying for public transport in Canada. Yeah. So, you know. Have you your life hack?
Mine is fairly basic, to be honest. It's just whatever you need to have done for the day, write it down and take a picture of it in bullet points or whatever, numbered off 1 to 10 or 1 to 2, depending on how busy your day is or what you're feeling. Take a photo of it and put it as your lock screen on your phone, so that you can one by one tick it off as you go, and it's easy to see, and you have a kind of a constant reminder as to, I don't know if that's been given before, but
no,
that's good. It's not illegal either.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously the last time you'd have been on, we did where you had to bring your own joke, but I found that, you know, it's wasn't really that good of a segment, to be honest, and I think people...
And we're not that funny.
No, so. We're not that funny. So what I've decided to do is I've just kind of come up with a couple of random questions, just, you know, so who wants to start? Evan?
Evan does, yeah.
Okay. How do you relieve stress?
Jeez, okay. Just listen to music. I have this playlist on Spotify, Pillback Dreams and Noise, so I just usually just lie in bed and listen to that and kind of like fall asleep or meditate a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's good by, yeah.
Jenna, okay. What is your favourite number and why?
I don't know, I've never really thought about this. I suppose 10.
Yeah, P. Any reason?
I don't know, I played when I was
back in the old school rugby days.
No. When I was actually younger, I played a lot of Gaelic and I played number 10, and then I ended up playing 10 rugby, so I suppose. Okay.
And you're a cracking 10 out of 10, mate. Okay, Evan, something that's currently popular but it annoys you.
All these liberals. Okay. No, just like over all like extreme like liberals who are just like, come on, just take a fucking chill pill. Yeah. Like, stop making everything just like the whole everyone giving out about everything. Like, there's this mass hysteria whenever some famous person does anything wrong. People try and, did you see that new cancel phase? People are like, let's cancel people.
No,
cancel
like at first Twitter thing. First of all, like Hitman. Hashtag cancel because one of their songs.
Yeah, I think I have actually.
But like, why would you destroy another person like that? It's just like,
yeah,
they made a mistake. Let them get over it.
Gob shites out there, right, Jenna? What is your most used app?
WhatsApp. Yeah.
Fair. You talk a lot of shite in WhatsApp groups. Fuck me. Okay, Evan. What is the best place for a date in Dublin? Whether it be a bar, or a restaurant.
Sophie's. It's a good place, I like Sophie's, yeah. Mm. Featherblade as well, actually. Gone there on Tuesday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Featherblade is unbelievable.
Jenna, what is your favourite TV series ever?
Oh, Friends. Has to be. It's very easy, yeah. I'd say I love that. I think it's one of those ones you can constantly rewatch as well. I also like Criminal Minds.
Oh, what a D show.
It's I know they're kind of two quite contrasting, but one's very easy to watch and rewatch, I suppose. Especially like whatever mood you're in, Friends can be one that you watch, but Criminal Minds as well, when it's whatever in the evening.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Oh my god.
That's a claim.
Okay, Evan, what is your favourite sport and why?
Ruggers. Has to be. Rugby, yeah.
Just for context, if you're just listening to this and not watching it, just the soundboard just hit Jeno in the head.
20k, cheers.
Sorry, my life hack, sorry, I forgot to mention, is 16 onion rings in Burger King for €3.
There's
actually Burger King around the corner, we could hit it up afterwards. Just the same. Alright, so let's get into this trivia. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah? Okay, so 10 questions. You gotta go for it. The high score is 10.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, high score is 5. I'm saying.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so how regularly is the Eiffel Tower painted?
Every year.
Every 7 years. Which Canadian province separates Alaska from the USA?
British Columbia.
Yeah, nice, chief. the old Canadian geo. Parachutes, released in the year 2000, was the debut album of which band?
What?
Parachutes.
Released in the air?
Released in the year 2000.
Oh,
Can I this one do?
I want to say Coldplay, but it's probably not.
It is Coldplay.
Coldplay. Yeah, that's all right.
And what does MRI stand for?
No, I don't clue.
Magnetic resonance imaging. And what is the name of sugar found in milk?
Lactose.
Yeah.
Nice effort.
What is a fandango?
A dance?
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing well.
He's got four. He's got four out of six.
How is it?
Name the legendary monk who invented champagne. Dom Perignon.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Jesus.
A deficiency of what vitamin leads to dry eyes and even night blindness?
Vitamin D.
Vitamin A. What are the primary colours?
Red, yellow, and blue.
Oh, chief. Mate, you've drawn five there. So this is essentially just to take the top of the leaderboard.
Whopper.
Huge.
Okay, what do you call a group of kangaroos?
School? No.
I'll give you one more guess.
Oh, come on, you must know this, the year in Australia. I don't know, but...
a dump play.
A mob, a troop, or a court?
Court, right. Yeah, kangaroo court.
You got five. That's you know,
solid, yeah.
You've drawn the top of the leaderboard, right, Jenna? Are you ready for your 10?
Yeah.
What did you get the last one?
Three and a half.
Okay. What was voted Ireland's favourite prayer at this year's ploughing championship?
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah. Hail Mary.
Yeah, nice. What is known as the Hallocks?
What is known as the
H-A-L-L-U-X? My dyslexia, I might be saying it wrong, but H-A-L-L-U-X.
Is it a place or something?
No.
No. What is known as the
body part?
The ribs.
Your big toe.
Okay, never getting that.
Okay, which soccer star ended his career by playing in an exhibition match where he played half for each team?
Do you know this?
I think
was it Celtic and United?
No. Like one of the most famous footballers to ever live.
Dave Beckham?
No, Pele. A couple who are celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary are together for how long?
These ones are way harder. I hate that.
No, they're not. I just don't know them. Crystal. Would it be 15. 30? Oh, fuck.
HG is the chemical symbol for what element? God. Bollocks.
The scientists in the room. HG.
It's hard, like.
No idea.
Mercury. What are the small indents on golf balls called?
Dimples,
pink. Yeah,
is it? Yeah. I don't know. Where
that's two. All right. So, in what country would you find 8 of the 10 highest mountains in the world?
In which
country?
Indonesia.
I'll give you another guess.
Japan.
No. And try again. Where is really
above mountain? India? I guess it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
is it the Himalayas like mountain range?
Is that Himalayas? It is the Himalayas, but like what's the country? I feel like you know the country.
God, I shouldn't know this. It's terrible. It's not Malaysia.
No, it's Nepal.
Yeah, I should have known that.
Okay,
K2 and all are in there.
K2 is in the Alps, but like like it's beside all the mountain ranges, all the peaks. And
disaster. Guatemala too.
Yeah. In what country is the world's biggest McDonald's? You have three left. World's biggest McDonald's. What country? Think about this.
America.
No.
No. Okay. China.
Yeah.
Will you give it to me?
No.
All right. Three. All right,
three. Okay. How many? How many teaspoons in one tablespoon?
Five.
Three.
Fuck.
Who was man of the match in Ireland's win over the All Blacks in the Aviva?
Josh Van der Fleer.
No.
No!
Peter Manning.
Yeah. Fuck! You should have known that.
Right, so three.
I don't think Van der Fleer even played, did he?
He did, didn't he not?
So leave
you Evan, Evan, that's five. That's a pretty... pretty ballsy move coming strong, on and just fucking hitting the top of the leaderboard. Yeah, like,
who was top at the moment?
Tom, and then there's like four. I think four people have 4.5.
So, oh, dark! I should have known, man.
Yeah. Oh well, sure. Look, I think we're probably gonna end up doing this again, just based on I like to be on about the rugby, and I feel like we can get some good prep in for a lot of these games over the next while.
Yeah.
So, we will probably finish up there now in a sec, but for anyone watching, let us know what you want to know about the World Cup over the next month, really. What is there any parts of it that you want us to discuss in particular? You know, players, teams, matches, key, anything really.
The culture of Japan, maybe.
Yeah. Here, we just fly to Japan and just cover it from there. Yeah,
you just get someone to sponsor us.
Sponsor the Inside Trail.
Yeah, we just ring Vodafone. Yeah, Vodafone, it gives a shit. Okay, well, I think we're talking enough shite now that we can probably spew it. So, until next time.